Hey folks, Scott Weingart here, and this is the M-Crit Podcast. So I'm still recovering from ASAP, which was amazing. It was so good to meet many of you. Thank you for your kind comments, and thank you for attending my lectures. Today, I just wanted to put out a quick episode with my friend Leon Gusso on a drug I've seen for the first time only in this past month, bath salts. So let's get right to it.
Hello.
Leon?
Yes.
Excellent. So we're lucky enough to be joined again today by Leon Gusso. And Leon has been on the podcast already with an excellent calcium channel blocker episode. So we're very lucky to have him back today. Leon, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and the things that you do?
Okay. I am a member of the Toxicon Consortium, which is a group of toxicologists in Chicago that teaches in and runs the toxicology fellow training program. And I also write the monthly toxicology rounds column for Emergency Medicine News. And at my blog, The Poison Review, I discuss toxicology topics, both scientific and cultural, and try to hit on the important new medical tox literature and rate the articles on a scale of 1 to 5 skulls. I consider it somewhat of a combination of At the Movies and the New England Journal of Medicine.
And just for the listeners out there, if you're not reading the Poison Review, you're missing out, because this is the directly relevant information you need about the world of toxicology. And when you see a 5-skull article, that is a must read. So today, I wanted to talk to you about bath salts, because I had never even heard of these, and then someone came into our ED and we could not figure out what the hell was wrong with them. When they finally woke up from their benzo-induced coma, they told us they took bath salts, and I needed to find out what this is all about, and who better to call than Leon. So, Leon, what are bath salts?
Well, first thing to realize is that it's not the stuff you buy at Target or Bed Bath & Beyond. These are chemicals that are... the law related to these has recently changed, but until the last few months, they were chemicals sold at gas stations, at head shops, at smoke shops. They could be labeled as bath salts, also were sometimes labeled as room deodorizer or even pond cleaner. And they were also labeled as not for human consumption, but that's a legal fig leaf to allow them to be sold. And what they are various chemicals, but they're all powerful psychogenic stimulants with effects similar to those of ecstasy.
So you're saying that these are essentially designer drugs that they were selling on the shelves?
Yes, as some other product not intended for human consumption. But that's a nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Everybody knew what's going on.
And why were they marketing them this way, Leon?
To get around them, they obviously couldn't market them as... powerful psychogenic stimulants. So this was to get around legal restrictions.
So essentially people in the know could just go to a drugstore or anywhere that was selling allegedly bath salts, and if you knew what you were looking for, you'd wind up being able to buy what is essentially amphetamines right off the shelf, pay for them, and no one's the wiser until they figure out what's going on.
Exactly. Usually they weren't sold at drug shops. They were sold at head shops or smoke shops or gas stations. They're also, they were widely available over the web.
Got it. Now, tell us a few of the chemicals that went into these.
The predominant chemical, when not all the products have been analyzed, but when analysis is done, the predominant chemical is something called MDPV, which is derived from a drug that's similar to Ritalin. And this is a powerful psychoactive sympathomimetic and central nervous system stimulant, which inhibits the reuptake of dopamine and norepinephrine. Other drugs that show up when these products are analyzed are methadrone, which is 4-methylmethcathinone, and that's derived from the drug cathinone that's found in the cot plant. And again, this is a synthetic stimulant, and it's similar to... ecstasy, cocaine, and meth. Mephedrone had been sold in Europe. Again, now in Europe there are legal restrictions on many of these products, but it had been a popular club drug sold usually under the name called Meow Meow or MCAT. And again, it's a sympathomimetic and a powerful peripheral vasoconstrictor. One other chemical that shows up is methylone, which has a structure almost identical to that of ecstasy. They differ only by the addition of one ketone group. And again, it's a sympathomimetic. The effects are very similar to those of ecstasy. And it also has been available and labeled as a liquid room odorizer.
So these are essentially an outshoot of the designer drug world, where if you have an illegal substance and you just change one side chain, now all of a sudden it's a whole separate compound and they're not illegal, or at least up until recently wouldn't be considered illegal. Is that correct, Leon?
Right. The underground chemists and dealers try to stay at least one step ahead of the law. I just wanted to mention some of the names that...
Yeah, definitely.
These products have appeared under many names. Some of the more common ones are Vanilla Sky, Ivory Wave, Hurricane Charlie, Lady Bubbles, Cloud Nine, Red Dove, Love Potion 69, and my personal favorite, Dr. Booga Sugar.
Now, do you think anyone was actually buying these accidentally to actually use as bath salts, and would they have worked for that?
No.
Okay.
They have no known use as bath salts, and I can't see anybody shelling out $20 or $30 for a small packet of something that's purportedly is to be dissolved in your bath water.
Now, what route were people using these in?
Primarily, they were snorted, although there was a recent review of 35 cases from Michigan, and over half of those cases had injected the bath salts. But they can be insufflated or snorted, injected, ingested. Also, they've been taken rectally. But the predominant route is inhalation.
All right. So let's say you snorted some of this. What's going to happen to you? What are you going to feel?
They have been reported to produce increased alertness and euphoria. But... a good deal of anxiety and agitation, paranoid delusions. And that's just some of the subjective effects of them.
Well, that sounds like just tons of fun. do you know when this got started, Leon? When did people start?
Some of these chemicals have been used for a while. The first I heard of bath salts, and actually the first reports to the American Association of Poison Control Centers was last summer, around July of 2010. And last year, in 2010, between the first reports in July and the end of the year, there were 303 calls to the reporting poison centers in the United States about bath salt exposures. So far this year, there have been over 5,200.
Oh, my gosh. So this is really on the upspike.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Now, we're obviously not seeing most of these patients. The ones we see are going to be at the extremes. So what do the patients who have taken bath salts and get brought to the ED look like?
I'd like to break down the effects between general sympathomimetic, cardiovascular, and central nervous system and psychiatric.
Sure.
The general sympathomimetic effects are hyperthermia that can be life-threatening. The highest temperature I've heard, which was not in a journal report, but informally, was 107.5. Patients are diaphoretic and have mydriasis, dilated pupils. Cardiovascular, just what one would expect from a sympathomimetic: tachycardia, vasoconstriction, high blood pressure. You can see cardiac arrhythmias, and then in the bad cases, cardiovascular collapse.
Wow.
One other type of general of effect is CNS and psychiatric, and those include anxiety, agitation, paranoia or paranoid delusions, hallucinations, psychosis. Very important, very distinctive, is combative or violent or self-destructive behavior, panic attacks or seizures.
Gosh, you know, it's so important you mentioned that psychiatric stuff, because when we had our first patient, it looked like PCP, and the guy just was floridly psychotic. And mm-hmm. I haven't seen PCP for a while, so I was surprised, and this is what it turned out to be. This could be the way you're seeing these patients when they come to your ED.
Yes, there was a recent review of calls to poison centers in Louisiana and Kentucky, and some of the bizarre and or violent behavior they saw included a patient who jumped out of a window to escape imaginary pursuers, somebody who repeatedly fired guns out of his house aiming at non-existent strangers. One patient walked into a river in January to look for a friend who did not exist. One person left their two-year-old daughter in the middle of the highway because they thought she had demons. And one patient had to be tasered, and it took 8 responders to subdue him.
Oh, my God.
So you're right. These can look quite a bit like old PCP patients.
So how do we treat these folks if they come into the ED?
The management is basically, I mean, there's no specific antidote. So the management is what one would do for any bad sympathomimetic like cocaine, like meth, like ecstasy. One is to, probably the first thing is to control the patient, which might be a challenge in and of itself. And might have to use various types of physical control and then quickly go on to chemical control. The ABCs, fluids, and as a sedative, aggressive doses of benzodiazepine.
Do you have a preference for benzodiazepines, Leon?
No, I think as long as you give enough, almost anything, any benzo is will be okay.
Okay.
And again, there's no specific dose, but it has to be titrated to what you're trying to achieve.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned these extremes of hyperthermia. What's your recommendation if you got a call at the tox center and they said, I have a bath salts overdose, their temp is 106.5. What are you telling these people to do?
Okay, yeah, 106.5 is certainly something you want to jump on right away. Hopefully that fluids and control with benzodiazepines will bring that down somewhat, but you do want to go to aggressive controlling measures, in which case would be stripping the patient using a mist and fans.
So are you ever dunking these folks in ice baths?
No, I have never done that. I've read about them doing it. You guys in New York are much more aggressive than we are.
Yeah, Lou Goldfrank's a big fan of the ice bath.
Have you ever done that?
I have not. We don't have the capacity. We don't have anywhere we'd stick someone to do it. We have put ice bags around them, around their axilla and their groin and on their chest, and that seems to be somewhat effective.
I would guess you do that in addition to the mist and the...
Yep. The mist and fans is very nice, very good.
Yeah, no, I have never put anybody in ice.
All right, so you're controlling them with benzos. You're giving them fluids because they're probably dehydrated. Obviously, probably wouldn't be a good idea to give these guys beta blockers to control their heart rate. That would be a no-no.
Right. As with any sympathomimetic, you'd hope that good doses of benzodiazepines would bring the heart rate and the blood pressure down. If it didn't, you might have to go to something like a specific alpha blocker like phentolamine.
And so essentially you could treat these guys much like you treat a bad cocaine or methamphetamine overdose.
Right. Just a couple of other things to look for would be rhabdomyolysis, because a bad bath salt patient can develop rhabdo, just from all the muscular hyperactivity. They can develop seizures, so you'd want to have seizure control measures in place. And also, I'm not aware of a report of this, but making an analogy to ecstasy overdose, I would monitor for, especially in a seizing patient, for hyponatremia.
Got it. So they might, depending on which of the bath salts components, they might look very much like ecstasy with the hyponatremia induction.
Exactly. That's another important point, is if somebody comes in like this, you're really not going to know for sure exactly what they took. Even if they say they took bath salts, you have no idea what's in it. So, you know, the treatment of all these patients are based on standard care for sympathomimetic overdose.
Got it. So it's ABCs and then symptomatic treatment.
Exactly.
Now, how long are the effects of these drugs going to last? How long do we have to deal with these guys before the drugs wear off?
In general, the effects, again, that somewhat depends on whether it's a massive overdose and the effects. And, you know, if somebody has a temperature of 106 and starts to develop total body failure, it's no longer a question of, dealing with the specific effects of the drug, but dealing with a chain reaction. But in general, the effects of the drug last 4 to 6 hours. Although agitation has been reported the last 4 days.
Huh. Are most folks winding up admitting these people or watching them in the ED for a while and sending them out?
Well, I think anybody who's, if somebody comes in with mild or no symptoms and they're asymptomatic at you know, after 4 to 6 hours of observation, I would think they could go home. Anybody who has to be admitted, I think by definition, should be admitted to a intensive care setting.
Now, you mentioned earlier this drug COT or CAT.
Yes.
And it bears some chemical similarity to this, but I think most people in the United States have not even heard of this drug. Can you tell us a little bit about it, Leon?
Sure. COT is something that's appeared in the United States over the last few years, but it's long been used overseas. It's actually the leaf of a specific shrub that grows in East Africa and the Arabian Peninsula, especially in countries like Somalia and Yemen. And what's done there is it's very similar to the way coca leaves are used in South America. Users would wad up a clump of fresh leaves, place it in their mouth between the cheeks and gums, and then chew slowly to release the active ingredient, which in this case is an alkaloid called cathinone. And actually methadone, which you talked about before, that is sometimes found in bath salts, is 4-methylmethcathinone. So the structure is very similar.
And this is also a stimulant drug?
It is a stimulant drug, yes. It's I just think of it as the cocaine of East Africa and the Arabian Peninsula. Now, there's one other very important thing about COT.
Yeah.
Which is that the usual spelling is K-H-A-T. However, an alternate spelling is Q-A-T. And actually, that spelling of COT is one of the few playable words in Scrabble in which a Q does not have to be followed by a U.
Nicely done. Going afield to add a bonus here. I love it.
Yep.
You know, and if folks are interested in reading about COT, I'm going to link to a Wired piece that just describes the desolation in Somalia from this drug. And most of the folks there are also wielding AK-47s with their stimulant drugs on board. So you could just imagine reading it. It's just amazing.
We didn't used to see COT itself here, but now that there is, you know, a number of immigrants from the countries where COT is indigenous, and now that it can be shipped relatively quickly, the fresh leaf is only active for a few days. I believe in Minnesota and other parts of the country, they have been seeing scattered cases of COT toxicity.
Well, it's just great that the modern world could really bring this stuff to your doorstep, even if you're in the United States. So,
absolutely.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about bath salts before we go, Leon?
No, I think though we've covered the key things. You know, I think most important thing to keep in mind is that if somebody comes in saying they've taken bath salts or looking like they've taken bath salts or with a history of taking bath salts, they're probably going to be sympathomimetic, but it really won't be clear exactly what specific chemical they've taken, but it really doesn't matter. The treatment is the same for whatever.
Fantastic. Well, I can't thank you enough, my friend.
My pleasure.